and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy whom he had afore, and afore is from the foundation of the world, prepared unto glory. See, God wants to show his wrath. Back to Proverbs 16:4, God hath created all things for himself, even the wicked, for the day of evil. God created those wicked. God knows where they're going. I don't know how God can look into hell and not be shaken by what he sees in destruction. Hell and destruction are before the Lord. How much more than the hearts of the children of men? Old Job talks about it in his book, writing about the same thing. He said, death and destruction are before the Lord, and hell is naked and hath no covering and so forth. God looks right down in it. He hears the groaning. Isaiah said he hears the groaning of the prisoners. He hears, he sees, he knows everything going on, and certainly we know he doesn't want anyone to perish. But it's not God's predestination that causes men to perish and causes them to be rejected. It's his foreknowledge that determines his rejection of men. He don't have to make any mistake in not permitting one to get saved, or hardening the heart of one, or letting one or a million or 10 million be cannon fodder to march them into battle and they perish and like beasts of the earth, or to let men be adversaries to God's people, or to raise them up to be a Hitler or Mussolini or a Nebuchadnezzar or a Sennacherib or any other of the evil men that have trodden down the common people during their lifetime. God knows their hearts and their potential, and God uses men according to what his foreknowledge tells them they will do under certain conditions. And God knows if he has mercy on them, they still wouldn't live right. He made that plain, and you find all of this in the prophecy of the scriptures, you know, these great men of God that's written a long time before us. And you listen to this in Isaiah the 26th chapter. You know, a lot of times you think that God's being unmerciful and so forth, but look, verse 10, in Isaiah 26, let favor be showed to the wicked, yet will he not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness will he deal unjustly, and will not behold the majesty of the Lord. You can take a guy that's not born again, he won't accept Christ and get himself straightened out, and you show him favor and mercy and all that in the land of uprightness, and he'll still do wickedly right in the middle of righteousness. God can't permit that. And he knows, his foreknowledge tells him what that man, woman, boy, girl will do if he tries to woo them into accepting Christ as Lord and Master. They're going to rebel. They're going to reject him. They're going to harden their hearts. So you know what God does? He just goes ahead and foreknows them and uses them in situations that he needs an adversary. He needs a stumbling block. He needs a maniac, praise God. He needs an old cruel judge. He needs a bad president. He needs a terrible governor. He needs a crooked policeman or a sheriff. He just puts them in office. Who you think puts them in office? God puts them in office. In Amos the 3rd chapter in verse 6, I like these prophets. It's terrible that most people don't prefer to hear the prophets. But in Amos the 3rd chapter in verse 6, shall a trumpet be blown in the city, and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in the city, and the Lord hath not done it? Yes. If there's evil or something bad going on in the city, who you think made it happen? God? Oh, he might let the devil loose. You heard saying he raised the devil. But the Lord put it in his heart to go raise the devil. Yes, he did. So let him raise the devil. If it don't bother you, leave him alone. Let him raise it. Woo! That's wonderful. We begin to realize God has a plan for our lives, and he wants us to fit into that plan and let him work out his will and quit questioning him about everything and questioning the word of God and want to know why. Why? God is not going to tell you why, so don't ask him. You need to ask him. He's not going to tell you any more or less than what I'm telling you right here tonight. So you can go ask him. You can fast. You can bleach your bones out. You can holler and squall. All you're going to get is a deathless silence. He won't tell you any more than what you're hearing right here. All right, Isaiah the 54th chapter and verse 16. Behold, I've created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire. A blacksmith, God's created him. It bringeth forth an instrument for his work. He's made the jeweler. He's made the cunning artificer. He's made the eloquent orator. He's made the police captain. And all of those folks to put in their places, he's given the ability to blow a trombone or play a guitar or to sing in a choir or something like that. All of that comes from God, he's saying. But he says, I've also created the waster to destroy. I've created the waster to go through destroying things. God created it, but he says, I sent him to destroy it. But listen, you got the promise of God in the next verse. If you've been called from the foundation of the world, and you've been accepted as God's child in the Beloved, here's your promise. No weapon that's formed against thee shall prosper. Who's going to determine that? God. Because you belong to him. If you belong to him, he's going to determine your steps. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He ain't letting you think you're doing it, but you're not. You might think it. You ought to quit thinking it. Every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage. This is your inheritance of the servants of the Lord and their righteousness. Where do you get your righteousness? It's of me, saith the Lord. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. We don't have any righteousness. It belongs to the Lord, and he gives it to his servants that will listen to him, take orders from him, obey him. Praise God. Isaiah, the same book, the 45th chapter, verse 7. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Hey, you want to blame somebody in creating a lot of these evil fellas and evil circumstances? Blame me for it. I, the Lord, do all these things. By what we hear, by the way, in the 44th chapter, the last verse, 28, says, thus God saith of Cyrus, he is my shepherd and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and to the temple thy foundation shall be laid. God raised up Nebuchadnezzar. We'll get to him in a few minutes. But 70 years later, he raised up this man. Isn't that something? After 70 years, God said, you'll be visited, you old rebellious house of Israel. I'll visit you. After your land lays desolate and you keep Sabbaths for 70 years, Nebuchadnezzar was a waster to destroy. Now he's going to raise up his shepherd. And this man is a more gentle man. He's a real gentleman. And you remember Nehemiah found favor in his sight, and he was sent back with a proclamation that all the servants of God whose spirits had been stirred up and raised up, let him come, let him rise and go build the house of the God in Jerusalem, which the Lord hath commanded me. Isn't that something? And here he is prophesying here several hundreds of years before it ever happened. Cyrus is coming along, and he's going to be my shepherd, a pagan king, and he's going to perform all my pleasure. All my pleasure. The Lord wants to be happy. He takes pleasure. Where's that? Psalm 149 and 4, I believe it is. The Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. The Lord wants to take pleasure in you and I. Like back in Ephesians 1. According to the good pleasure of his will, he predestinated us to be the children of the Most High through Christ, his beloved. Now we find in Isaiah, or rather Psalm. We go to Psalm, the 75th chapter. Psalm 75, verses 5 through 7. Lift not up your horn on high, speak not with a stiff neck, for promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. God is the judge. God is the determiner. He's the one that determines the course of nations and men and women, individuals. He determines the bounds and the habitations of all the inhabitants in all the races of the world. God is the judge. God determines the future. He putteth down one and setteth up another. That means a police captain, a governor, a president, a king, a preacher, whoever. God is the one who determines the course of events of the future so he can predict them. God couldn't predict them if he wasn't going to determine what was going to happen here in this end time. How could he predict it? He's going to raise up the Antichrist. He knows exactly what that Antichrist will do. He's going to raise up certain men to preach, especially those two witnesses of Revelation 11, and he can determine, he can predict what will happen because he's going to determine the course of their activities. He's going to give them a message. He already foreknows those two men. He's already predestinate it to happen, along with the revelation of the Antichrist, false prophet, the mark of the beast, and all of these terrifying events that will be brought here upon this end time generation. God has determined it. He's foreordained it. He's predestinated because he foreknew what men would do, and he has determined the chief dramatist, or the ones that will help bring these things to pass. God made the determination. About the Antichrist, you ought to read something about him here in the end time. He's certainly coming. And in Isaiah, the 10th chapter, you read something about this man. The Bible calls him in Isaiah and Micah the Assyrian. So you turn quickly to Isaiah, the book of Isaiah now, the 10th chapter, verses 5 through 7. O Assyrian, the rod of mine anger and the staff in their hand is mine indignation. I will send him against an hypocritical nation, and against the people of my wrath will I give him a charge to take the spoil, to take the prey, to tread them down like the mire of the streets. Now listen to this, though. Howbeit he meaneth not so, neither doth his heart think so. Who's controlling this fella? God, just like he's got a bridle in his mouth. Put things in his heart, in his mind, directs his path, determines the course of events through those terrorists that Joel 2 writes about, just overrunning civilization like Habakkuk 1 writes about. These terrorists that will arise in the end time will cause events to happen, will shape the course of events that will bring the Antichrist to world power. My Lord, have mercy. And God says here, but that ain't what he's thinking. You know, he's going to do a lot of things that he's not, that's not his objectives, in other words. God's putting it in his heart. He said, he don't mean so to tread down these people, the Jews that he's talking about are God's people. That's not his objective. He don't mean so, neither doth he think in his heart. But in his heart, it is in his heart to destroy and cut off nations, not a few. He wants to destroy the world. Great Lord. Like Hitler, if he could, boy, he'd tear it up. God won't let him. He'll put it in his heart and to do other things, or he'll cause events to happen that will cause him to do other things. You read that in Daniel 11th chapter, how that he's going to make go down to the south against the king of the south. I mean, you can read there how God is making events turn him from the course of action that in his heart he wants to carry.